I'm John Batchelor with my very good colleague, Charles Pellegrino, who's been my guide on the Titanic tragedy for all these years. Charlie and I did a wonderful show, the 100th anniversary, but here we are 13 years later, and there's still much to learn about Titanic from Charlie, so I call upon him each year to look at a different aspect of this overwhelming, detailed story. We're on board Carpathia. It is the day, the 15th, the day after the sinking. We're steaming toward New York. There are 705 rescued passengers on board. As Charlie says, some of them are in bad shape. What happened on board Carpathia that is of note or revealing these many years later, Charlie?
In fact, there's a book by Steven Schweikert that just came out, The Six. That's also a James Cameron supported project. So you had these six Chinese sailors who survived, all from the same town. And they managed, being sailors who were aboard the Titanic to go meet and sail away on another ship and work, they knew boats, so they managed to survive. But they had to sleep out in the cold on the ship. And also the one Japanese passenger, he had to, on the Carpathia, he was sleeping in the sleet and the rain and the thunderstorms, or trying to sleep in that. Some people tried to throw him overboard, actually. The Japanese passenger, I mean, he's, you know, sleazy, unshaven, smelly lot of people. And that was just the first class women. And they went through a lot. There was Edith Russell, wonderful personality, more adventures in her life than the unsinkable Molly Brown. But there was one black man aboard the Titanic, and his father was, I think, the president of Haiti. And he was heading back with his wife in second class, and they had two little girls. He went down with the ship, Mr. LaRoche, and there was some concern about, in fact, later on, there was a terrible speech given at one of the major cathedrals in New York, some minister claiming the Titanic was sunk by God because people were making what he called mulatto children. And Edith Russell stopped some of the bad curiosity about these two little girls by saying, oh, Mrs. LaRoche, she just adopted these two Chinese orphans. And everyone was like, ah, after that point. And one of them, one woman wrote about these who had written some kind of bad things to a boyfriend. And she wrote later, oh, the two most adorable little China dolls. So Edith Russell managed to protect them, remained for decades a friend of the LaRoche family.
Wonderful. Now,
what went on was there were things that you look at that and you see, you know, we've got a long way to go as a civilization, but we've already come a very long way. 1912 was not a good time to be living, to be anyone.
It's the 18th. We're reaching New York, New York Harbor. They arrive at Pier 54. You travel there every year. Why?
That's the place where the survivors came off the ship, where almost everyone, some of whom I had gotten to know while they were still with us, before the Titanic passed from historical into purely archaeological time frames. I just go there every year, and I leave a potted orchid, a live orchid, with just a little note and in remembrance of first responders, past, present, and future. And I just leave it there for someone to take home, and it's alive. It's not going to die.
The Carpathia,
I just do that. I don't even know why.
The Carpathia was towing lifeboats? Because there's I have a photograph of the Titanic's lifeboats tied up at a pier. Is that what?
Right. Those are the boats that the Carpathia took aboard.
I see.
And they were the Titanic's lifeboats. And Walter Lord had researched what happened to the lifeboats. And he said, believe it or not, Charlie, they were just kind of modified and put onto the ship that they were building, the Britannic. And he looked and he said, yeah, well, and why not? They were brand new, only used once.
And the passengers, as they arrived in New York, you said they went to St. Vincent Hospital, the same St. Vincent as today?
Right. Many of the, that's where they were taking the injured, those who needed looking after. And one of them was a woman who had lost her husband. If you look at that time, Violet Jessop, the stewardess who then became a nurse, she was on the Titanic. She was also on the Britannic when it sank. And her father died from a simple injury to a hand during construction. People died of common infections back then. Every family knew a child that died. But this one woman who lost her husband, not on the Titanic, but to just a common cold that went bad. She was one of the Lebanese passengers, and she was at St. Vincent's. Then she got out and she saw on the streets they were selling ice cream. She was germ-phobic, and she saw that they would take the cone in the glass cup, this cone-shaped cup, and wash it out and then reuse it with this dirty water. And she said, man, ice cream tastes so good, but that's not the way to serve it. There's got to be a better way. She invented the ice cream cone and started the Joy Cone Company, which is still in business today. She became fabulously rich. Her family still runs the business, and all because of germ phobia after the Titanic.
Did the investigation start the next day? We have 30 seconds.
Yeah. And those were held at the Waldorf Astoria, which at that time, the old Waldorf, is where the Empire State Building is now. And that's where the Senate investigation into the loss of the Titanic was held. That investigation and the British investigation and a huge book on a sea of glass, they're kind of like the first edition Bibles into the loss of the Titanic for people who want to research it thoroughly.
Charles Pellegrino, Farewell Titanic, the Californian Incident.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.